This morning's reading comes from Romans chapter 5, reading from verses 12 to 21. On the Brown Pew Bibles, it's page 1283. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thanks for that reading, Isaac. As we come to hear from the Word of God this morning, let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Word, for all that it contains for us to understand about you and how we should live as your people. Lord, be with us now. Your Holy Spirit, be with us, helping us to understand what you're teaching us here in the book of Romans, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Australia had an election yesterday, we hear, but we don't have a government yet, which is interesting. But all across the country, people voted for who they wanted as the federal government of Australia. And the government, both federally and also at a state level, it's made up of a whole lot of people who have won the most votes in particular areas of the country. Here in Reservoir, we're in the federal political area of Batman. So probably not the Batman you're thinking of, a different one. It's named after somebody called Batman. But yesterday, somebody won the most votes in this area of Batman. Again, I'm not sure who's won in this area, But the person who won, they represent, or they speak for, or speak on behalf of the people of this area in federal parliament, in Canberra, in the capital. And this is a pretty important job because they represent thousands of people living in this area. As we come to today's passage in Romans chapter 5, looking at verses 12 to 21, we read about a couple of people who also represents others. Except these two people mentioned here in this passage represent more than thousands of people living in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. Now between them, these two people represent everyone. Between them, these two people represent every person in the entire world. And these two people aren't just representing others before federal parliament in Canberra. They're actually representing people before God himself. And who are these two people? It tells us that it's Adam and Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, when God looks at every person on earth, he essentially sees one of two men. He either sees Adam or he sees Jesus Christ. Now, last Sunday, Andrew spoke to us about the present and future blessings of justification, of the gospel that we have in Jesus Christ. As verse 25 of chapter 4 of Romans says about Jesus, that he was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. As Christians, we're justified before God. We're declared not guilty by God, with our sins forgiven, because we're now in Christ. When we believe in Jesus and turn from our sins and are saved, the person who represents us before God actually changes. Before we believed, we were in Adam, which means we were lost, which means that we were without hope and without God in the world. Because Adam, our representative in the beginning, had sinned against God. But now, though, we're in Christ. We're saved. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Jesus, who now represents us before God. So then, in this passage today, the Apostle Paul, he's wanting to compare between Adam and Christ, between what we were and what we are. He wants us to see the power of Christ at work, Christ's obedience overcoming Adam's disobedience. And so we can understand this passage in the following way, that first of all, Paul reminds us about Adam in verses 12 to 14, showing how he was our representative before God. And then from verses 15 to 21, he makes a series of comparisons between Adam and Christ, our new representative, helping us to see just how superior being in Christ is compared to being in Adam. And so then, starting with verses 12 to 14, with Adam. Adam is the one who did represent us and who still represents everybody who doesn't believe in Jesus. Verse 12 says that sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And that one man is Adam. He and his wife Eve disobeyed God's command way back in the beginning of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. There God said to them in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." But they disobeyed this command of God, and they ate from that particular tree, after they were deceived by Satan. And disobedience towards God is what sin really is. To disobey God, to go against his commands, is to sin against God. And the penalty for sinning against God is death, unfortunately. God said to Adam and Eve, "You will surely die." And that's exactly what happened. So sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, verse 12 says. But that's not all it says, because the verse then goes on to say, "And in this way death came to all men, because all sinned." And you think, wait a minute, how did this go from being about Adam to being about all men, all people, you might be asking? How did death come to all men? How did we all sin all of a sudden? Now, surely this is a bit too much. You know, like Adam. Adam, he's the one who did something wrong. Why are we today somehow included and being punished for what he did? But here is where we need to understand about representation, about who represents us before God. You see, Adam, God created Adam as the first human. And as such, Adam represented us before God. He was humanity's representative before God. That's why Adam's the one who gets focused on here more than Eve, because he was our representative. before God. Not Eve. God held Adam accountable and responsible for what happened then. We've got much the same thing today in some instances. Like, for example, politicians, as I mentioned earlier, they're representatives of people. But also consider ambassadors. Like, ambassadors are people who work for a country's government who then go and live in another country and represent the government there. Like Australia, for instance, we have ambassadors in most countries in the world. We have Australian embassies in those countries, and in those embassies works the Australian ambassador. And when the Australian ambassador speaks in those countries, he speaks for the Australian government. He represents the government. He represents Australia. He, in effect, is the government. He is Australia. When he speaks, the government speaks. And likewise, if the Australian ambassador is offended by something, then Australia is offended. Or if the ambassador does something wrong, then Australia has done something wrong. As I said, for humanity, Adam was our representative in the beginning. In a way, he was our ambassador before God. And so when he sinned against God, all of humanity sinned against God. When death came to him as punishment for sin, death came to us all as punishment for sin. And so today, all of humanity is born with a sinful nature within us that we've inherited from Adam, from our representative. We're sinners from birth. And so we too, like Adam, face the punishment of death for our sin. In this way, death came to all men because all sinned. And I know the hearing about all this, it's easy for us to judge Adam and to scorn him for disobeying God and causing all these problems. But really, if we were in Adam's place, we probably would have made exactly the same mistake. In fact, we would have made that same mistake. Adam and Eve were both deceived by Satan. Satan being a fallen angel who himself was already in disobedience towards God. And God knew this was coming too. Remember, his plan of redemption and salvation through Jesus Christ was in place before the creation of the world. Like, don't think that we would have done any better than Adam in his place. I mean, people today are still being deceived by Satan. The Bible warns us against him. We're told in the Bible that Satan's like a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. But we're told too, however, that if we resist the devil, if we resist Satan, he'll flee from us. So take warning from Adam and Eve's example here and be on guard against Satan. Don't be deceived. Now especially watch out for that reasonable voice that says to us, like he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say that? Now, did God really promise it? The things that he's promised in the Bible? Now, are your sins really forgiven? Did Jesus actually die for you? You know, those moments of doubt that we have. Because yes, if it's in God's word, God did say that. God has promised as much as his people. Our sins are forgiven. And Jesus did die for you. But then, at the end of verse 12, Paul, he stops all of a sudden in mid-comparison to present an argument in verses 13 to 14 about sin and the law. Because he's just said that in this way, through Adam's sin, death came to all men because all sinned. So here, Paul's wanting to clearly show that Adam was our representative before God. Because how else do you explain the fact that sin existed before God's law was given through Moses? Paul says this, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. And it's true, consider Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah and the flood. These examples and others like them, and these reactions to sin happened before the time of Moses. And Paul then says, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. And he goes on in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. But you think, how though? Like, how could death reign if people didn't sin by breaking a command? How could there be sin if the law hadn't yet been given? And the answer is Adam. Adam and his disobedience to a command of God. People living in a time between Adam and Moses didn't sin by breaking a command. But Paul doesn't say that they were without sin, though. They sinned because their representative, Adam, sinned. Adam, remember, representing all of humanity when he disobeyed God and sinned. In that one moment, all of humanity became sinners like Adam, and we've remained that way ever since, until Jesus came. Sin is not taken into account when there is no law, Paul says. And he's right, but he's not saying that there is no law. Adam broke a direct command of God's, and God's commands are law. Now, even if the law had never been given through Moses, all people would still be considered sinners before God, because Adam's sin affected everyone, all of humanity, still to come. And then you might be thinking of the question, well, what use is the law then? What use is the law that came through Moses if we're already sinners due to Adam's sin? Well, hold on to that question, because Paul's going to answer it later in this passage. And at the end of verse 14, though, Paul, he says something else really important. He says that Adam was a pattern of the one to come. He was a type of the one to come. Throughout the Bible, there's patterns, types, there's shadows of what is to come. Like, for example, the whole Jewish sacrificial system with the temple and all the daily sacrifices, it all pointed to Jesus Christ, God's ultimate sacrifice, who allows us access into God's presence. So here too, Adam was a pattern of the one to come being Jesus Christ. He was a pattern by being a representative of humanity. No one man whose actions affected humanity. Which sounds familiar, because that's exactly Jesus too. One man whose actions affect humanity. Except for Jesus, it brings salvation to everyone who believes in him, no matter what nationality, no matter what social status. But Adam and Christ aren't exactly the same, though. No, let me make that point very clear here. And Paul says that too at the beginning of verse 15. He says, but the gift is not like the trespass. And then from verse 15 to the end of the passage in verse 21, Paul, he makes comparisons between Adam and between Christ, showing the effects on those that they represent, for those who are either in Adam or in Christ. Again, he wants us to see the power of Christ at work. Christ's obedience overcoming Adam's disobedience. And then so, in verses 15 to 17, Paul, he presents two contrasts, first of all. So a contrast of degree and a contrast of consequence. And these are introduced by Paul. He says what the gift of God is not like. Now, the gift of God being Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And here you have to notice that the language that Paul uses, he's using if and then how much more. If this, but how much more this. He uses it twice here in verses 15 and 17. Now, first of all, he says that the gift of God is not like the trespass, which he's contrasting the proportion or the amount here. Adam's trespass, Adam's sin, resulted in death to all who he represented, all of humanity. But Christ and his work not only cancelled out the death that Adam's sin brought, Christ also brought life and peace with God, God's grace overflowing to those who he represents, meaning those who have believed in him, meaning that Christ's work is far greater in any and every way than what Adam did. And then secondly, we're told that the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. So he's contrasting consequence or end result here. Now, Adam did one thing wrong, one sin, with the end result being condemnation and death. Christ came and did the right thing after an untold amount of sins against God by all of humanity, with the end result for him being righteousness and life. And what a contrast that is. I mean, what's more powerful there, to do one thing wrong and get punished for it, as Adam did, or do the right thing, even while in the midst of being sinned and rebelled against by all of humanity, as Christ did, bringing righteousness and life to many who were actively sinning and rebelling? And it's interesting that Adam's sin brought death, while Christ's death ultimately brings life. As Paul states here, in comparison to Adam's sin which brought death, how much more will those who receive God's grace and gift of righteousness reign in life through Jesus Christ? Now, can we see the power of Christ here as he's contrasted with Adam, our previous representative? Think about what God's done through Jesus Christ to bring about our salvation, our justification. What a gift we've received. What an amazing truth that now that those of us who are Christians are no longer in Adam, but instead we're in Christ, with Christ representing us before God. And in verse 18, Paul says, consequently, as a result, in other words, here he basically summarizes and restates what he's just said. And again, Paul is making comparisons between Adam, between Christ, showing the effect that these two representatives have. The effect on those who are either in Adam or in Christ, showing Christ's power in comparison with Adam's actions. And here from verse 18, Paul actually gets back to finishing the comparison that he started in verse 12. Now, basically, one act of trespass, one sin, brought condemnation through Adam, who represented humanity in the beginning, while one act of righteousness brought justification through Jesus Christ, who now represents all who believe in him. Now, verse 19, it restates the same thing using the language of obedience, disobedience. Now, Adam's disobedience made those he represented to be sinners. Meanwhile, Christ's obedience makes those he represents righteous. Because as Paul said back in verse 14, Adam was a pattern, a type of Christ, pointing ahead to Jesus, the one who was to come. As Adam's one act of sin led to these things, condemnation, sin, and death, so then did Christ's act of righteousness lead to justification, righteousness, and eternal life. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 45 to 49, speaks about this. It says that there was a first Adam and a last Adam, the last Adam being Jesus Christ, one man who came to represent those of us who believe in him, and so save us, restoring us back to how things should have been before Adam's sin. And one thing to make note of here also, which some people might take the wrong way, is Paul, he makes these terms, he says about all men, and also speaks about many. Now, in the second part of verse 18, he seems to be saying that justification brings life to all men, meaning everyone. Just as Adam's sin resulted in condemnation for all men, meaning everyone. But does this mean that everyone's saved then? Does everyone receive justification? Well, no. Unfortunately, Paul, he makes this clear earlier in verse 17 when he speaks of life for those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. And other passages in the Bible also say this clearly. Salvation, justification, is only for those who accept God's gift, who believe in Jesus Christ. And that's really what Paul's saying here. He's speaking about those who are in each person being compared in this passage, either in Adam or in Christ, not necessarily meaning everyone, all of humanity in each case. He's speaking about those who are belonged to or are represented by either Adam or Christ. He's using these terms, all men and many, for the sake of analogy, for the sake of this comparison between Adam and Christ. And then coming to the end, to verse 20 to 21, we find that Paul, he brings the law back again. He mentions about the law again, like he did in verse 13 and 14. And here he actually answers the question that might have arisen from what he said earlier, the question being, what use is the law? Now, what role did the law have if everyone was already condemned by being in Adam? Well, here Paul says in verse 20, it was so that the trespass might increase. And what he's saying is that really, if the law wasn't there, it'd be hard for us to accept that we too are sinners like Adam, that we'd inherited a sinful nature from him. You know, because we would have that argument that Adam is the one who's done something wrong. He's the one who's disobeyed. I haven't been given any commands by God. But with the law, God has given us all commands. He has told us how we should be living. As we realise that our actions keep breaking God's law, we can see that there then is an increase in sin, because now our ongoing sin is counted along with Adam's. You know, the law was added so that trespass might increase. Now, and knowing this too, that from Romans earlier in chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, that for Gentiles, for non-Jewish people, the law is written on their hearts as well, even though we might not have received it through Moses. But that's not all that the law does, though. Now, by showing us how sinful we actually are, the law also shows us how much we're desperately in need of God's grace and salvation. Now, it shows us that we can't keep the law perfectly. No, we need God's help. We need salvation. And here in verse 20, Paul also says that where sin increased through this use of the law, God's grace increased all the more. And the reason for this is given in verse 21, where Paul makes his final comparison in his passage. Because we're told that as a result of Adam's disobedience, sin reigned in death. This is a reality for everybody who's still represented by Adam. But through God's grace, which has increased beyond the increase of sin, those who believe in Jesus Christ are given a new reality. We're now represented by Jesus Christ, where grace reigns through righteousness, bringing eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then the question we need to be asking ourselves is, who is representing me before God? Is it Adam? Or is it Christ? Because that determines whether we're in Adam still, or whether we're in Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, then you're still in Adam. You're still subject to everything that being represented by Adam entails, meaning judgment, condemnation, death. But if you do believe in Jesus Christ, if you do accept that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, that you're a sinner in desperate need of saving, then God's Bible says that you're in Christ, that you'll receive everything that being represented by Christ entails, meaning grace, justification, righteousness, and eternal life. As you go home today, ask yourself the question, who is representing me before God? It's only one of two people. It's either Adam or it's Christ. Adam is our default setting, the one that we're born with. Christ is God's grace being offered freely to us as a gift. Now don't just accept the default setting. Accept the gift, God's gift. And then as well, for those of us who are in Christ, does what we've looked at today fill you with hope and joy? As it says early in Romans, chapter 5, verse 2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, through Paul's comparisons here, we can see the power of Christ at work. Christ's obedience overcoming Adam's disobedience, overcoming sin, overcoming death, overcoming Satan. As Christians, we are justified. We are made righteous. We are saved because we're no longer in Adam. We're now in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what's written here about Adam and about Christ. Lord, we thank you that now with Christ representing us, we have eternal life, we have justification, we have righteousness, Lord, all given to us as a gift, offered freely to us, Lord. We thank you that the work of Christ far surpasses what Adam did. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.